Proverbs chapter 20. This verse tonight sort of is a jumping off place that will answer a lot of other questions that people have. Really, this verse and the understanding of it destroys Calvinism, which is a big statement to make. This verse also explains why our society is like it is. You think, man, what? How can you put those two? Those are radically two different statements. To say a verse explains why our society is in the shape it's in, and yet a verse that also explains why Calvinism is a false theological position. But that's where we are. So we're going to look several verses tonight in the Bible together. Proverbs chapter 20, I'm in verse 27. And we tried to finish this chapter, but I had to jump over this verse, just too much there. Proverbs 20, verse 27, the Bible says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God's candle in man. Not God's candle in the church, not God's candle in a saved person, but God's candle in every man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 4. We are all made in the image of God. That has a lot of different connotations to it, but one of the greatest connotations to it is that there are three parts to you. And you're just one person, but you're made up of three parts. And they're very distinct, though they're all together. And they're all one. And that's the way God is. There's just one God. There are not three gods. There's one God. But yet there are three parts to the one God, just like you. You wouldn't look at yourself and call yourself more than one person. You're just one person, but you're made up of three. And that's the way God is. God is a spirit, the Bible says. But yet, he's more than that. You can touch him, because Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So there's more to God, just like there's more to you. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And that is the makeup of man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." God's not just trying to fix part of you. He's trying to fix you wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's the whole package. He's trying to fix everything about us. And so then he explains what he means by that. "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body." That's three parts. And notice, the body's last. Now, you know, a lot of people, and really, even when I was in Bible college and growing up, everybody would always say, "Man's body, soul, and spirit." And we quote it wrong. You know why? Because we're carnal. We always want to put the body first. I never heard anybody say spirit, soul, and body. It was always body, soul, spirit. Why would we mix that order up? Because we always put the body first in our heart and our minds. And here he says it's the spirit first, then the soul, and then the body. That he wants to be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's three parts to you. And God wants to sanctify all three parts, not just one. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, you've got a couple of those parts mentioned. Now, we're not going to labor on the body. You know what your body is. But if I asked you what's the difference between your spirit and your soul, what would you say? And it is very different. He said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. You could put, there's the body, if you want to put the body somewhere. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he talks about the soul and the spirit being divided by the Word of God. So there's certain things God wants to do in your spirit and some other things God wants to do in your soul. Now, well, I'm not going to preach about the soul, but I would suffice it to say that your soul is made up of your mind and your will and your emotions. The best way I can explain the difference between the three, if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he died, the Bible tells us that they took his body and they put it in the tomb. But when he was on the cross, he dismissed his spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So his spirit went back to the Father. His body went in the ground. But then the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that God wouldn't leave his soul in hell. And the Bible lets us know that the Lord Jesus Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, that's not his body. And he led captivity captive. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went down into hell. Don't let that bother you. Because he had to go down there to get all the keys. He said in Revelation, when I have the keys of death and of hell. So he just went down to hell and said, give me the keys. That means, look, if I found myself in hell, I could let myself out because Jesus is always with me. Now, I'll never find myself in hell. I have eternal life. I have assurance that I'll always be with God. But Jesus said he'd never leave me, and he's got the keys. So that's the best way I can explain. His spirit went to the Father. His spirit went to the Father. It didn't go to hell. His spirit went to the Father. His soul went to hell. His body went to the heart of the earth. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Maybe we can get some more understanding of this, because this is going to take us somewhere that's very revealing about what's going on in society and how people can get mixed up even in their theology. Now, as you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'll quote two other verses for you. One verse I'll quote, we went through the book of Zechariah. You remember that in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says that God formed the spirit within man. God does a creative work in every human being, and he forms the spirit within man. And so he puts that spirit in there, just like your body has a creation. God creates the spirit of man inside of man. The Bible also tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 26 that the body without the spirit is dead. So when Jesus dismissed his spirit, that's why he died, because the body cannot stay alive without your spirit inside. You understand? So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and when that spirit goes back to the Father, the body's dead. The body's dead. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 21, trying to get an understanding of the spirit of man, because we're trying to get a hold of what God meant in the book of Proverbs when he says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? Now that agrees with Jesus, right? What happened to his spirit? Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? That shows that you are not like an animal. Because you have a spirit that God put in you that he didn't put in an animal. An animal has a very different spirit than you have. That'll be important in just a minute when we try to understand what this means. So an animal has a certain spirit. When it dies, the spirit goes to the ground. Man has a certain spirit, and when he dies, his spirit goes back to the Father. He says that again in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12, look at that, verse number 7. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the Bible says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What is the spirit of man? What is the function of the spirit of man? And why is it called the candle of the Lord? And before salvation, what's up with our spirit? Now, when we look at a man, this is where you get into problems with Calvinism. Calvinism says that man is sinful and depraved. Of course, we are sinful and depraved. But Calvinism says that man is so dead that he can't come to God. Calvinism says that man is so dead that his will is dead. He has no will. He has no ability to trust Christ on his own. He has no ability to believe on Christ. He's just dead. But you see, that there's three parts to us. The body is not dead, obviously. And I would tell you that your soul's not dead. I believe that soul dies when it goes to hell. I believe that's a second death, you see. The soul, a mind of a man's not dead. He can think whether he's saved or lost, you see. And so is his will. He has a will. He can make choices. And he certainly has emotions. But now the spirit. When a man's not saved, he's spiritually dead. He's spiritually dead. And that's when the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the problem with man is that he's spiritually dead. You can see that in Adam, right? When Adam was in the garden and he took of the fruit, he died that day. But he's still walking around. He's still got a mind. His body is still functioning, but God said, in the day you eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. And he died spiritually. He died on the inside. His spirit died. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he tells us what the purpose of that spirit. Just because it's dead doesn't mean it's not there. It's still there. Because I'll give you another illustration. Now, if you're saved, you know what the Bible says about you? The Bible says your body's dead. Do we need to go to Romans? I don't want to get sidetracked. The Bible, if you're saved, your body's dead. And you know what? You'd say, well, news to me. Because I'm still feeling things. Right? In other words, your body's dead, but that doesn't mean it's not there. It's still there. You're just walking around with a corpse. A corpse that talks to you. A corpse that has desires. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, so if you're saved, your body's dead. But if you're lost, your spirit's dead. But that doesn't mean it's not there. That doesn't mean it's not really on the inside. That doesn't even mean it doesn't have any function. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us a great insight in the New Testament about what our spirit's about. What's this mean about God's candle on the inside of us? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 11, watch it, 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now watch it. So it's the spirit of man that gives him consciousness, remember that word, we'll be back to it, of himself. What man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? So the spirit of man, our spirit on the inside, gives us a consciousness of ourselves. That's why when it talks about beasts in Ecclesiastes and the spirit of the beast, you know, beasts think differently than we do. A beast can no more understand humanity than humanity can understand a beast. I mean, think about it, guys. I don't even know which ones they are because I'm not into all the animal stuff, but here there are animals that after their babies are born, they eat them. Why is that? Because what they understand in a spirit of a beast is not like you. There's no moral compass there. You understand? There's no guilt there. There's no shame there. The spirit of the beast is different than the spirit of man. We're made different. That's why our spirits go to different places. It's like Do you ever wonder how animals know what to do? Nobody teaches them anything. Well, maybe some of you taught them to roll over and stuff. I'm talking about just living. I mean, I don't want to go there, but animals know how to do stuff just on the inside. They're never trained or they're never taught. It's natural, right? Or we would even use the word instinct, right? There's an instinctiveness. They know how to feed their young. They know how to, they figure out how to walk. They don't have a walker. They're not taught to roar. I mean, nobody taught the little fish to swim. Right? They do it automatically. Now you take a human being and you leave a human being to itself to figure it out. That baby's going to die. But God has built into the spirit of that beast to know what to do. It's just fascinating because he understands in his nature. God put a spirit in a beast to understand what their function is. Now, in us is also put a spirit. And with that spirit in man, we understand how to function. But our functionality is not based upon instinct. It's based upon morality and it's based upon a knowledge of God. Just like God puts in an animal an instinct, God puts in man a candle. And he can't get away from it. What man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit. Just like you don't understand what's going on in an animal's mind and an animal doesn't understand what's going on in your mind. You know what? We don't understand God. You know why? Because there's a spirit of a beast. Listen. There's a spirit of man, and there's a spirit of God. And the only way we can know God is to have the spirit of God. Just like the only way that the beast can't understand us, got a different spirit. We can't understand the beast because we've got a different spirit, and we can't understand God because we've got a different spirit than God. But you know, the Lord even figured that out for us too, didn't he? Because you know what he says? You can have my spirit within you. Isn't that great? And you can know what I know. And you can understand what I understand. And you can have the same thoughts. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So go back to our text. He says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So what does this mean, the candle of the Lord? In Job chapter 32, get Job. Job, that's another good wisdom book. Job chapter 32 and Psalm 18. Now you won't get this in a biology class, and you won't get this in a psychology class, but this is the way God has designed us. He's put a candle inside of us. You know what a candle does, church? It gives light. It gives light. Now, mind you, a candle doesn't give light like the sun. You know who the Bible says the sun is? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness. I mean, he's the light of the world, right? Now that candle doesn't give light like the sun, but it does give light. Even so, the Bible's called a light, right? Your word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book is a light. But Jesus is the light, the Bible's the light, but every man has a candle in his body that God put there. It's his spirit. Watch it. Job 32. You need to remember that when you're witnessing to people. Job chapter 32 verse 8, the Bible says, but there is a spirit in man, Job 32, 8. But there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty, look at it, giveth them understanding. He's not talking about saved people in the church. He's talking generically about all men. There is a spirited man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There's something, that doesn't mean every man's saved, but there is a light, there is a candle in every man. It's his spirit to give him understanding, just like the beast knows how to, the fish figures out how to swim and mother its kids and knows where to go. And the geese figure out flying south there. How do they figure all that out? It's built inside of them. And God has built in man understanding. He says in Psalm chapter 18, Psalm 18 verse 28. Psalm 18 verse 28, David says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Now, we're all in a dark world. We have dark hearts. And yet, in every man, there's put a candle. John chapter 1. You're going to see it in the New Testament? I'll show it to you in the New Testament. Now, this is something Calvinists can't understand. These people that says God chooses some people to go to heaven and hell, that's not right. And that the Holy Ghost has to do something special in you before you can get saved, that's not true. God's put a candle in you to show you the way, and all you have to do is respond to it. All you have to do is come to Jesus Christ. He's not making it hard. He's not making it for a certain few. It's whosoever will, let him come. He said, "How do I know the way?" Well, there's a light inside of you. John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 5, or verse 4, speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, John 1:4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And then you got John bearing witness of the light. But look at verse number 9. "That was the true light." Now look at your Bible. "Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Do you see that? God puts light into every man that comes into the world. It's called His Spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now here's the problem. You say, "Well, preacher, why do we have such a problem in society?" Go to Luke. Just go back a book. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You know what you can do with candles? Here's that nursery or that Sunday school little song we learned, Luke chapter 8 verse 16. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." He's telling you, be careful what you do with a candle. In other words, don't cover up a candle. Don't hide the candle. Don't put it away. And so though the candle of the Lord is in every man, some people try to cover it up. Some people's candle, they've hidden, they've removed. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Scripture with Scripture. Watch this. "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." When we go out and knock on doors, you say, "Preacher, they don't care anything about God. They hate God. They're a bunch of atheists. They say they don't even believe in God." Hey, they still got a spirit. They got a candle on the inside of them. Just keep talking to them. Maybe they put that candle in the very corner of the recesses of their heart, but it's still there. He said in Luke chapter 11, verse 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Watch it. "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." He said, the only way you can see light is because of your eyes. But if there's something wrong with your eyes, if your eye's evil, now evil doesn't always mean sinful. It can just mean messed up or ruined, you see. If there's a problem with your eye, you're not going to see light correctly. Your eye can be dysfunctional. You can be blinded. "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that," watch it, "take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." God put a candle in you, but don't let it become darkness in your life because of the evil and the brokenness that's inside of you. Verse 36, "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." He's saying, you have a candle, but some people hide the candle. Some people have a dysfunctional candle. It's not working well, though it's still there. And though the light is in every man, some have tried to put that light out of their hearts. Because just like the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, man can also join himself to unclean spirits. Man can also join himself to evil spirits. He can join himself to the Spirit of God. And in this context, I love this. He can also put his candle on a candlestick. You know what the candlestick is in the Bible? It's the church. Revelation chapter 1, those seven candlesticks are the seven churches. You know what God intended you to do with your life? He intended for you to stick your life on a church so you could understand things about God that you wouldn't understand all by yourself. Take your candle and put it on a candlestick and you'll get greater light. That's how important the church is. And yes, people can have a relationship with God all by themselves, but that their light will be small and their light will not be, they won't have the full understanding that God's trying to bring to their heart. You need the church. You need the candlestick. Now, here's a problem. Proverbs tells us, and I'll just tell you, Proverbs 24:20 says that the candle of the wicked can be put out. Now, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 6, would you? This is the last thing I want to show you. So I talked to you about man's spirit. I talked to you about God's candle, God's light. So what's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? If there's light on the inside, understanding on the inside, why are people so godless? And why are people clueless? And why are people so perverted? Why do people do things that you animals don't do? Well, right here it is. 1 Corinthians 6, we'll start here. He says in verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one what? Now, when you get saved, when you come to Jesus Christ, You get put together with God, just like a marriage. Two people become one and they're one flesh together. That's the context of this chapter. When you come to Jesus Christ, you get saved. Your spirits join. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord is now joined unto the Lord's spirit. And when your spirit is joined to the Lord's spirit, oh, what more light is there? And now what more understanding is there? You see, lost people understand things about God, but they just don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, look, we'll read it in a minute. Lost people know it's wrong to kill people. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost to have that knowledge. Lost people know that mothers are supposed to be good mothers. Lost people. Lost people know that mom and dad should love their children. That's built on the inside of them. Lost people know that it's wrong to fornicate. They know that. It's built on the inside of them. But they don't understand all the things of the Spirit of God and of the Word of God until they join themselves to Jesus, and then, wow, now my candle is joined to the Holy Ghost, and oh, what light. Look at back at our chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, our verse 11 said, you know, the spirit of man knows the things of man, but you don't know the things of the Spirit of God without the Spirit of God. So, he says, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, look at it, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you understand that after you got saved, God put, can I even use the word, something instinctive in you, for just like the animal, for you to know what's right and wrong, even when nobody even taught you? When you got saved. I've known people that got saved. I remember leading some people to the Lord over in Greece, and here's this Greek lady. She didn't know a verse of the Bible from Calvin and Hobbes. I mean, she didn't know nothing about the Bible. And she got saved, brother. And she came up and she said, I don't know what's wrong with me. She said, I've never felt bad about saying those words, but those words came out of my mouth, and I just felt like somebody hit me, and I'm like, somebody poked me. There's something. You can't teach that. Because when the spirit of man is joined to the spirit of the Lord, there's some understanding of some things I'm supposed to do and some things I'm not supposed to do that I didn't even know before. I knew I wasn't supposed to kill. I knew I wasn't supposed to hurt anybody. I knew I wasn't supposed to commit adultery with my wife. But boy, all these other things now, wow, why is that? Because we've received the Spirit, which is God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at the last verse of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 2. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the what? The mind of Christ. How do you have the mind of Christ? Guys, now the mind of Christ is perfect. He knows everything. Does he? He always makes the right decision. So why don't I? I have the mind of Christ. I have it in my spirit. I have it because the Holy Ghost is in me, and I have an understanding of the mind of God through the Holy Ghost. That it goes all the way back to all of those messages on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm telling you guys, we don't understand how important it is for us to walk in the Spirit, because it will give us understanding of every path in life we need to take. It's not just a candle now. It's a huge, what are those big spotlights? That's saying, that's the way. It's the mind of God now. When you get saved, your spirit's joined to the Lord. And now you got the Holy Spirit giving you understanding. You're not leaning into your own understanding. Now you got the Spirit of God giving you understanding. Romans chapter 2. So you said, preacher, this would explain society. It does. Romans chapter 2. Now remember, it's the Spirit of God that gives us that understanding of man. It is the Spirit of man that gives us understanding of man. It is the Spirit of God that gives us understanding of God. And even lost people have that candle of the Lord, that light of God, to understand some things. But what happened to them? Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they don't have a Bible. He's talking about heathen people, don't have the Bible. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Watch it, verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. There, what's the word? Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, somebody that doesn't have a Bible, they've never had a preacher, they've never had a church, built inside of them is the candle of the Lord to let them know what God's law and what God expects of them. Even if they're in some jungle somewhere. They know they're not supposed to bust their neighbor's brains out. Well, then why is everybody busting people's brains out? It's built into them to love their wife and love... not saved. It's built into them. By the way, it's built into them that men are supposed to cohabit with women. That's built inside of them. So what happened? Why did people kill people? Why did people commit adultery? Why did people live pervert in their lifestyle? When inside they've got a candle and a knowledge and a conscience that tells them not to do that. And they know better. Mark it down. They all know better. There is not a young person, there is not an old person that's taken a gun and killed a bunch of people. That there's not anybody that went down a sodomite trail that did not know it was wrong. Hey, you even know it's wrong to steal without a preacher preaching, thou shalt not steal. A little child knows it's wrong to steal, even if they can't even talk. Where did that come from? It came from the candle of the Lord. It came from the spirit of man which is in him. And that conscience, I want to submit to you, is in our spirits. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it's in our spirits. You're in Romans, look at Romans 9. I'll just read you that verse. I think I've spotted where the conscience is. Some people say it's in the mind. I think it's in your spirit. That's why lost people have a conscience. Romans chapter 9, the Bible says, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My, what's the word? Conscience also bearing me witness, look at that little word, in the Holy Ghost. That means his conscience is in the Holy Ghost because he's saved. And then this is true. If you're saved, if you've joined yourself to the Lord and you're one spirit and you got the Holy Ghost, your conscience works a lot different in the Holy Ghost than it just does in your own spirit as a man that's not saved. You still have a conscience, but it works a whole lot different. So my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever studied that word conscience? Do you know, if something happens to your body and you pass out and you lose consciousness, you understand what that means, right? When somebody is not conscious anymore, they're still alive, but they don't have a clue what's going on, right? They're knocked out. They're unconscious. Y'all follow me? Do you know that that word conscious and conscience comes from the same root Latin word? It's an understanding of your surroundings. You know why people do not understand anymore and respond and they're numb and it's just like they just passed out and they're doing all this wickedness in their life and society? It's because something's happened to their consciousness. Something has happened to their conscience. What's that? It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm about finished. I've made this statement many times. I can make it here because I've already made it here before. And a lot of people don't, it shocks them because of what they've heard all their life. But I've told people before that the Holy Ghost doesn't convict people. People's consciences convict them. The word convict is one time in the Bible. Just one time. And it's in John chapter 8, verse 9. Jesus wrote on the ground. The Bible says they went out one by one, being convicted by their own conscience. You see, even a lost man has a conscience that can be convicted. He does not need some ulterior work of grace done in his heart to be convicted. God has put a candle in him to convict him already of his sin. It's called his conscience. That's why lost people, they get convicted and don't get saved. It is so strange to hear some people's theology. Well, you know, if the Holy Ghost really gets on you. Well, you know, when Stephen preached, the Holy Ghost got on those people. You know what they did? They killed Stephen. They were pricked in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And they killed him. So what happens to people? Same thing that can happen to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing what? You give heed to seducing spirits, you will lose all light. That's what's happened in our society. And doctrines of devils, look at it, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their what? Their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, you know what happens when you sear something with a hot iron. You can't feel it anymore. Every man has a candle of the Lord, but what they've done, they have let their conscience get seared because they've not exercised it. Paul says, he says, I exercise my conscience that I may be void of offense toward God and man. Jesus tells men in John chapter 3, to come to him and believe. And then he says this in John 3:19. He says, people don't come to the light. You know why? Lest their deeds should be reproved. They hate the light. They know what's wrong. Hey, guys. People know they're a sinner. They just lie to themselves and won't believe it. And you know what, guys? We know what's wrong with us too. And every day you have a choice, and every day I have a choice to exercise my conscience or let it get seared a little bit more. And guys, I'm telling you, just like all those people out there are doing the wildest things you ever heard in your life, and it makes me angry every time I hear of it, every time I hear of another story, and it's sad and it breaks your heart. How can people do that? And what I'm telling you is, all that any of us have to do to go down a road like that is quit responding to the candle of the Lord and the light of the Lord on the inside when He deals with us and our conscience agrees with God and our conscience agrees with the Holy Ghost and says, you know, nobody else knows about that, but I know about that and God knows about that. You better get that right. And every time we ignore that, our conscience gets a little harder and a little harder. And I'm telling you, people don't come all of a sudden. They don't go off the deep end and start killing people. They take one step at a time, and their conscience gets harder and harder, and the light on the inside gets smaller and smaller and pushed to the side. Guys, nobody all of a sudden just leaves their husband by accident. That doesn't happen. It is little by little a step. And another step. And what I used to feel bad about, I think I can flirt around. I'll say this, or I'll send this text, or I'll look at this. It's one step at a time, and it is the searing of my conscience little by little, so I'm more comfortable doing wrong each farther step I go. Nobody woke up one morning and said, I'm going to be a sodomite. It doesn't happen. It is a step and a step and a step. Because inside of every one of us is the candle of the Lord. And we can put a bushel on it. We can try to shove it under the bed. But the candle's trying to shine.